Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Down in the timer circuits for a switch. Blade lovers so fast, so shiny, so sharp. As the wizards play down on Pinball Way, on the boardwalk way past dark.
That's the Asbury Park boardwalk Bruce is singing about there. And part of our recent economic coverage on the Brian Lehrer Show has been an ongoing mapping project called Halted Development, marking places and neighborhoods where the economic crisis is visible in the empty lots, abandoned construction, or unsold condos. It's part of our Uncommon Economic Indicator series, and you can add your information to the map by clicking on the link on our page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And while this project started with a look at the empty condos in Brooklyn, listeners have added lots of other locations to the map, which is what we were hoping for, from all around the metro region. And here is one from Lauren in Asbury Park. Lauren is a small business owner there who runs the website allasburypark.com. And she writes, quote, Asbury Park, a once dilapidated resort town, received a redevelopment plan in 2000 that called for the taking of 3 to 4 blocks of oceanfront via eminent domain. The city's plan was to give that land to the redeveloper Asbury Partners and build stores, condos, and townhouses. Nearby in the downtown district, residents have independently purchased dilapidated buildings, rehabbed them, and launched new small businesses. This was done without the use of eminent domain and has benefited local homeowners. This area has been thriving since 2006. She continues, the Boardwalk District, however, has not. The Boardwalk itself was restored in record time by a retail consultant who renovated the buildings and opened new stores and restaurants. However, the Esperanza, the condo that was to be the largest on the Jersey Shore, is still one floor of concrete and rebar standing in the place of the formerly incomplete, then demolished C8 project. The Esperanza has been untouched since December 2007. Our town has blocks of restored Victorian houses, she writes, a thriving downtown and a beautiful boardwalk. But we have a vacant stretch across town where apartments, cottages, and homes were torn down. This area is not being used, is not available for sale, and is being held hostage by the redevelopers who refuse to spend money on housing in this economy and refuse to sell it to people who want to build on it. This story of halted development must include the issue of how eminent domain, for the developer's sake, has been a terrible decision for local towns like Asbury Park. Wow. So a very content-rich and challenging post to our halted development map from Lauren in Asbury Park. And joining us now to dig deeper on this and talk about eminent domain policy is attorney and blogger William J. Ward. And here to tell us about some things that are looking up in Asbury Park is Paul McEvely, a director of the nonprofit group Interfaith Neighbors, which helps people find affordable housing there. Welcome both of you to WNYC. Hi there.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And William Ward, how is it that what Lauren describes of a town giving over land to a private developer happens in New Jersey?
Well, it happens, Brian, under the local redevelopment housing law. And that's the statute created by the legislature that enables towns like Asbury Park to declare property to be blighted and in need of redevelopment. And once the town does this, they have the power of eminent domain over the properties within the project area.
And this is kind of the legal creep of the eminent domain concept over the years, right? It used to be just the government taking for real kind of public functions, railroad rights of way and things like that.
Yeah,
and
the
now
traditional,
it's become
the traditional public takings, the highways, schools, roadways, parking lots, open space, parkland. No one has an argument with that about public purpose, but when you take property from one person and give it exclusive development rights to the designated redeveloper, which has happened on the Asbury Park waterfront, Asbury Partners is the exclusive redeveloper. And if you own property within that development area, you're hostage to their redevelopment rights, which they have by contract with the city of Asbury Park.
And this new kind of use of eminent domain was recently reaffirmed, as many of our listeners know, as being constitutional by the United States Supreme Court. So it's more okay than it used to be to take private land and give it to other private developers if the local government deems that to be in the public interest. But then once the land is claimed, you think there should be a cap on the amount of time before the land has to be developed or forfeited back. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely, because you mentioned that Asbury Park has a redevelopment agreement in place since 2002. But actually, redevelopment of the oceanfront goes back to 1984. In 1984, these properties were declared blighted and in need of redevelopment. The property owners have been held hostage for 25 years by that process, and there is no cap in the law as to how long the process remains viable. And I think one of the things the legislature has to take up when they ultimately reform the local redevelopment housing law and the eminent domain statute is to put a cap. And I suggest 6 or 7 years would be more than sufficient to do the redevelopment project. Otherwise, they lose the blight designation and they'd have to go back to square one.
And I think we've got a story along those lines from a caller. This is Lewis in Asbury Park. Lewis, thanks for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hello again, Brian. Good morning. Hey, yeah, I have a friend that had a business and a property one block from the beach, the heart of the redevelopment zone right there. They took his property 3 years ago under eminent domain. To this day, it lies empty. And I don't understand why they take these properties for more blight. So you end up with parking lots, empty lots, and nothing's being developed. You know, Lauren was right on. How she described what's going on in Asbury Park was perfect. Now, the boardwalk's doing great and all, but you go one block in, it's empty lots. It's becoming parking lots, and it's really frustrating that they took a thriving business for nothing.
Do you have any reason, Lewis? Do you have any reason to believe, as Lauren implies in her email, that if the government had not seized it and given it to one favored developer, that the blight would have been more likely to get redeveloped by the private sector rather than less?
I don't know, because it is complicated, but. And perhaps I like what the gentleman mentioned, where at some point it should revert back to being up for sale again. Because it's just being held hostage for the fact that the blight was there to go forward with some sort of development, but then to just stall it and sit there and do nothing.
Some kind of timeline.
Brian, one of the things that took place when Asbury Partners came into the designation as exclusive redeveloper is they took away the ability of the individual property owners to redevelop their own properties in conformity with the redevelopment plan. Prior to Asbury Partners coming in, Asbury Park favored the individual property owners being able to do that. And I think if they left that in place, many of these property owners would have redeveloped when the real estate market was thriving. Of course, now they've lost the market, and they have no incentive to put money into the project until the real estate market cycle returns.
Now, let me get Paul McEvely into this, director at the nonprofit group Interfaith Neighbors, which helps people find affordable housing in Asbury Park. And, Paul, stalled construction isn't anything new to Asbury Park, is it? We're doing this halted development map because of the proliferation of these stalled construction projects in the last year or so. But on the site where the Esperanza now sits idle, the former half-done construction project called C8 sat as a still skeleton for nearly 20 years as the town declined, didn't it?
I think that's a very good point, Brian. The frustration that that Lewis and Lauren and others have expressed with the pace of the current redevelopment effort really has to be put in the context of what's gone on or what hasn't gone on here in the city for over 20 years. It's individual property owners that may feel as if they're being held hostage, but more broadly, I think all the residents of Asbury Park feel as if there's a high level of frustration. The prior redeveloper, the outfit that was previously awarded the redevelopment rights of the oceanfront, went belly up some 20 years ago. That sat in bankruptcy court in Connecticut, for God's sake, for a long period of time, and it was only in that 2000 or 2001 time frame that the Asbury Park council and administration managed to wrestle back those development rights. So, you know, it's been a long, torturous process here in Asbury Park, while basically pristine, a mile of pristine oceanfront here in New Jersey, you know, sat lying fallow. Very, very frustrating for lots of us here.
But, Paul, do I understand that you're more supportive of the use of eminent domain, even if property owners don't get the full value of their property?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think you know, part of when you look at Asbury Park right now, there are probably six or seven areas that are declared redevelopment areas within what's a relatively small landmass for the city of Asbury Park. And there's no question that the eminent domain arrow has come out of the quiver and been used in the oceanfront. It's written into the redevelopment plan for the Central Business District, but only two properties, and hasn't been employed there. It's in the scattered site redevelopment plan, but it hasn't been employed. It's in the recent Springwood Avenue redevelopment plan, but it hasn't been employed. Most recently, the council took action to declare the Main Street area as an area in need of redevelopment, and it was specifically excluded from that plan. So I think my own personal view is that council and the administration, and maybe in part because of some of the experiences in the oceanfront plan, is cognizant of lots of these issues associated with eminent domain now in the state of New Jersey, and clearly has, I think, backed off on that lever. The development work that we do as a community-based nonprofit, we do development work for affordable housing. And we've done a lot of work with the city of Asbury Park, but none of that has employed eminent domain as the basis for controlling the properties.
And with your interest in affordable housing, you may find this post on our website from Sharon to be interesting. She writes regarding Asbury Park, there is no middle-income housing, no affordable eateries. They were trying to be Red Bank.
Well, I think that's when you look at the city of Asbury Park and you look at what the theme of the development in the oceanfront area is really high marketing, trying to market high-end condominiums. You know, they've got some excellent restaurants now on the boardwalk, but they're more geared to the high-end community. The Central Business District, I think, has an array of different restaurants, but I think she's absolutely right when she says, you know, the middle market and affordable housing is lacking. And I think that's one of the areas that we have been involved in trying to change that mix of home ownership and tenancy. You know, in a typical community, you might look for 80% home ownership, 20% tenancy. In Asbury Park, for decades, it's almost been the exact reverse of that.
Now,
so that's why I think there's a real need for affordable housing and for sale owners, home ownership at that end of the market.
Now, there's been some criticism in this discussion of the developer Asbury Partners in particular, and I'm glad to see that Michael South in South Orange, who represents Asbury Partners, is calling in right now. Michael, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. I'm actually taking a few days off, and I just happen to be listening today. So this was good timing.
So what do you want to say?
Oh, well, just to say, you know, I just think what can't be lost, I mean, Asbury Partners, there's no other place that I think anyone can identify that's had an area declared blighted and no real development for 20 plus years. So first thing I just want to say is it's sort of a one-off situation, so you got to sort of look at it, but you can't paint with too broad a brush. But I think what's often lost is it's very easy to say that the landowners in Asbury Park have been victimized and held hostage. But I think if you look at the facts are that there's a reason why the property owners can't develop their properties by way of the 2001 plan, and that is because in all the plans that have been in place since 1984, the property owners, in fact, were threatened with condemnation only if they didn't develop their properties, and the fact is that nobody developed their properties. Everyone's been sort of waiting for, a big developer to come by and start pumping things up, and when that big developer didn't come by, nobody did anything. The city council did not...
One at a time, Michael, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think the city council recognized when they did the revamp plan and they had Asbury Partners to come in as a developer, that the only way that this plan was going to work was to make everything subject to condemnation, because when they gave everyone the option, nothing happened. And I know we always talk about these, you know, I hear this all the time. Everyone talks about the success of the Cookman Avenue district. Well, another fact that gets lost in the mix sometimes is that the Cookman Avenue redevelopment zone is a redevelopment zone, and it's a redevelopment zone that became a redevelopment zone only after Asbury Partners came in 2001. And if you talk to people who were there, people said, thank goodness that we have a new developer downtown. Now Cookman can take off. I mean, you know, it's like dropping a pebble in a pond when you – hit the pebble in the pond, you get ripples. And people flooded into the business district thinking they were going to have a nice base of residences in the downtown area. Now, you can ask why the downtown area didn't get done in 6 years. And, again, I think you could look to a number of landowners who weren't longtime landowners. There are people who came in looking to make a quick score, looking to see what would happen, and they hung the project up in litigation for 5 years, and that was the great housing market. Mm. The reason things aren't being built now is the reason why we have a banking crisis. There's no money to build. You know, the C8 property is sitting empty, not because no one wants to build, it's because the developer's in foreclosure.
No, no one has like money. William Ward, did you want to ask Michael a question?
Well, the I know there was litigation by some of the property owners seeking the right to keep development rights to their own parcels within the redevelopment area, and that was fought by Asbury Partners. And, in fact, what happens is Asbury Partners then has to be paid by those individuals in order to strike a deal to develop the property they already own, which is, in the view of those property owners, is decidedly unfair.
I understand what you're saying, but the fact is that the courts have blessed that because they understand that Asbury Partners is not coming in just to take people's properties to build condos. They're also repaving all the streets, they're redoing all the sewers, they've rebuilt the sewer plant. You know, there's a heavy burden of infrastructure placed on Asbury Partners, and what a lot of these fees for the, what they call the subsequent developers do is to help share that because Asbury Partners doesn't profit from that.
We're running out of time. I just wonder if there's a point of common ground that the various of you can come to as to where you hope to be in a year and how you might get there.
Michael, from Asbury Partners' point of view, we would love to be doing business. I mean, you know, we're in business with subsequent developers who are people like Metro Homes, who are major developers who are supposed to come in. And unfortunately, the process got started when the stubbles were in the ground. We were at the tail end of the building cycle, and you got the Paramount put up a building, and they finished it. It's a beautiful building, and, you know, there just weren't a lot of people to buy them. Some other people, like Kushner, built a phase, and they gave up their other phases because it's just no longer economical to build.
Yeah.
And that's not a fault of Asbury Partners.
Right.
It's a fault of the economy.
So,
Brian,
a last word from each of you.
Is that
Bill?
Yeah. That's happened twice now to Asbury Park because the first developers, Carabetta and Vaccaro, went bankrupt and they didn't take advantage of the market. And when Asbury Partners came in, they were kind of late in the game in terms of the real estate cycle. And you could look at Long Branch, for instance, where Long Branch did achieve the redevelopment along the waterfront when the real estate market was booming. Asbury Partners and the other developers that were in contract with them came in late, and they lost the market. If the market comes back, the projects will come back.
Right. And Paul McEvely from Interfaith Neighbors, concerned about affordable housing. A last word. We have 30 seconds.
Yes, Brian. I think there's clearly been progress in the oceanfront area. There are certainly issues. But if you contrast it to 6 or 7 years ago, you know, my boss is favored to say that you could have shot a cannon off on the boardwalk on the 4th of July and you wouldn't have had anybody down there 6 or 7 years ago. Now it's a night and day difference. It's a thriving area. But I also want to say that, you know, a lot of the discussion here this morning has been focused on the oceanfront. Across the rest of Asbury Park, I think good things are happening and there is still development going on and there's going to be some revitalization on the west side of the community as well.
Paul, thanks.
It's not just the oceanfront, it's other areas as well that are moving forward.
Paul, thank you very much. Eminent domain attorney William Ward, thank you very much. Michael, representing Asbury Park, thank you very much for calling in. And another important to our area story and conversation launched by one of you on our halted development map. Anyone else can post there with or without an accompanying story at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thanks so much to Lauren from Asbury Park for launching this discussion. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up in just a minute, who is faster, Usain Bolt or your house cat?